There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, not affecting us, no frozen precip for us down in beautiful southwest Alabama, but if you check social media or you have relatives north of Birmingham and up in northeast Alabama, seeing people peppering the social media with snow pictures, it's, well, I don't know if it's Snowmageddon. It's, I don't know that we've seen that there are, maybe we'll check in with some of our friends like Jeff Poor, who live up in Huntsville, to see if they've raided all the stores for all the food we buy. Why is that, by the way? Because some of the things you buy when a snow or an ice storm's coming are not even things that are particularly favorites on your list, right? I mean, if you're going to be stuck inside the house, people say, well, there's no power. What do you do? Well, you're going to eat hot dogs with no power? Everybody goes and gets hot dogs. You get hot dogs. If there's no power, then it would be different items you would eat, right? But no, people buy hot dogs. I'm like, I guess you buy bologna or sandwich meat or something like that. You do, but why not buy some stuff you like if you're doing it? But Dalton will look and see if we get pictures of empty store shelves in North Alabama. They are getting some snow up in the Huntsville area, Florence, down to, looks like maybe as far as Coleman, south, and this is supposed to continue over the next couple of hours. Not us. Don't get excited. Not us. It is North Alabama that's in the throes of some kind of snow panic up there. All right, so here we're just going to get the rain, and then we're going to get some colder weather by the second half of this week. All right, coming up on today's show, number one, it is the second Tuesday of the month. That means we talk to the sheriff of Mobile County, Sam Cochran. He joins us in hour number two of the show. So that's going to be coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. You got questions for the sheriff. It's your chance every month to ask the sheriff. So he'll be in here. You can get the questions in through the text line, or you can phone them in at 343-0106. In the 1 o'clock hour, Sheriff Sam Cochran in, and we'll talk to him. And by the way, too, I'm going to ask him a lot of questions about how this murderer from Friday at NAS Pensacola, as a non-citizen, right? So he's not an immigrant even. He was in here on a visa. The murderer from Friday at NAS Pensacola. How did they, because all the stories you said, he went and legally bought that Glock handgun. How did he do that? We'll talk about that with the sheriff. But yeah, you got other questions and law enforcement questions, absolutely phone them in. Hey, and speaking of law enforcement, tomorrow night, this is going on at Mod Pizza there in the Pine Brook Shopping Center. I will be one of the judges for, I keep saying, correct me, Joey, or anybody who, if I'm wrong, I've been saying Mr. and Ms. MPD. Then somebody said that Mr. and Mrs. MPD. It's a beauty pageant for members of the Mobile Police Department. Well, not just beauty, also talent. I'm sure they're going to have to show some talent tomorrow, but I'm judging that. That'll start at 6 o'clock at Mod Pizza in the Pine Brook Shopping Center. So it is a law enforcement beauty pageant. So if you want to come out and be part of that, put that on your to-do list. All right, and coming up in just a second, we'll be joined by Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Lots to talk about, of course, what happened this morning, as it's no big surprise, at least to me. I know there are some people, some people have said the Democrats would never move forward. Dalton, some people who said the Democrats would never actually move forward and take this impeachment to the next level. But articles impeachment brought today by the Democrats, and of course, that was no surprise to me. But if you're one of the people that was surprised by it, there you go. That happened. We'll talk about that with Todd Stacy coming up in just a little bit. Also, mentioned this new poll this morning that shows one-time AG, one-time Senator Jeff Sessions with a big lead in the Republican Senate primary. Now, the poll was paid for, if I understand this correctly, by the Sessions campaign, but not so fast. You say, well, they're completely discounted. And yeah, I get where you are, but there's a lot of times that campaigns are always polling or paying for polls. They're called internal polls. It's how they and the campaign know what's going on, right? So they pay for the polls. Now, when those polls are positive and look really good for their campaigns, that's when they go, hey, here's a memo. Here's some news. Look at this poll. So people said, well, because the Sessions campaign paid for the poll, it would be biased. Most likely not with the group they use. But what you do is you run polling until a poll comes out and looks like you want it to, and then you release it to the public. It may be spot on. We'll talk about some of the numbers in that and how this is shaping up in the Republican primary for Senate. All straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile. Glad you're here. Hey, Dalton, did you hear that? Articles of impeachment today. How about that?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:17 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Y'all say hello to my buddy Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, checking in from not a snowed in Montgomery, right?
No, not at all. I think we got maybe tomorrow or something, but I don't know. Maybe a few raindrops. I never lend too much credence to it.
Well, the pictures are everything in the Tennessee River Valley. They've gotten like a tenth of a half of a millimeter of snow, and I'm amused on Twitter seeing all the snow pictures. Because listen, we do the same thing down here. I'm not pretending like we wouldn't. It's just, and I ask you this question off the air. I mean, why do people go get hot dogs when it goes snow? why hot dogs?
That's pretty silly. I don't know. If it snows in Huntsville, by rule, the whole state gets a snow day, right? I think that's that. Okay. I think that's how it's supposed to work.
We'll take ours during Mardi Gras.
Okay, yeah.
Take ours down here. So everything's okay in Montgomery for now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lovely day. We're looking forward to the bicentennial.
It's happening all week.
Yeah, really Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They've got events all weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I don't know if anybody's planning on driving up, but downtown Montgomery is just going to be full of fun stuff. For the 200th anniversary of the state's founding.
Yeah, I saw that in your email this morning, kind of lining that up. If people did want to come up for the activities, I mean, it's the main thing is the parade, or what? I mean, what's the bigger part? But what if somebody, if they're planning to come up and be part of it, when do they need to be there?
Well, let me go look for the schedule real quick. Just looking at Saturday.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to figure out what day. I mean, you listed all this, and people, this is a tease into telling people how to get the email in their inbox.
Sure. So for Saturday, that's the 14th, at 10 a.m., they're going to have a parade down Dexter Avenue. That's the big bicentennial parade. You know, Dexter Avenue is the big street that goes up toward the Capitol. Everything starts at then. At noon, they're going to have a big dedication. They're going to have a big festival downtown. And at 4 o'clock, they'll have a big concert and finale. I think some fireworks, too, starting at 4 o'clock. So really, from 10 o'clock until the evening, you'll have all kinds of festivities in downtown Montgomery.
I need to point this out, though, from people down here by neck of the woods. They're not going to be throwing anything from the floats in this parade. They don't throw no throws.
Well,
it's a shame.
I don't know, but certainly y'all should. Y'all should incorporate that.
Thank you.
that should be incorporated into this. Surely somebody should have thought of that. If there aren't any, that if you're from Mobile, then get up on a float and throw something.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, you know, and we think it's cute, the state's bicentennial, since the city of Mobile had its tricentennial. We think it's cute with the, you know, our little brother there with the state. All right, let's talk about our state here. And poll I was talking about this morning, but I was anxious to talk to you and get your take. New poll that came from the Sessions for Senate campaign shows, oddly enough, released by the Sessions for Senate campaign, shows Jeff Sessions with a big lead.
That's right, and it's big news today because, look, we run a political news outlet. We all are political junkies, and so polling is about the, you know, the biggest catnip that we can get our hands on. So mm-hmm. Senator Sessions or Attorney General Sessions, whatever we're supposed to address him
Jeff,
as
yes,
now.
Yes.
Jeff Sessions' campaign ran a poll. It was run over December 3rd through 5th, so this is after John Merrill left the race. Remember when we were talking about, you know, who would benefit? Mm-hmm. Who benefits from John Merrill leaving the race? Well, this may begin to show the answer. So head-to-head, down the ballot, the poll showed that Jeff Sessions had 44% of the Republican votes. Tommy Tuberville was second with 21%. Bradley Byrne was third with 14%. And Roy Moore was fourth with 7%. And so that, and 12% were undecided. So that was big news this morning. It's still going around Twitter and around the internet. It's making its way, not just here in the state, but in DC and nationally, because this is a national race. And if that indeed is the horse race, if that indeed is the where this race stands, then man, that's a big jump. That means he would have an 8-point jump from when he got in the race in you know, early November.
Now, what do you attribute that to? Just all Merrill supporters just going over to Sessions, or something in addition?
Well, I was asked the other day, you know, what would a Merrill voter do? And I said, well, you can't really pinpoint that very much. But I will say this. If you were a Merrill voter, if you were a committed, you know, on a poll survey saying, yes, I'm going to vote for John Merrill, and that meant a couple of things. Number one, it meant that you weren't for Bradley Byrne, right? You mm-hmm. knew about Bradley Byrne. If you know about John Merrill, then surely you know about, you know, Bradley Byrne. Same thing with Tuberville. You have been presented with these options, and yet still you had stayed with John Merrill. And so my answer was, a lot of times when lesser candidates drop out, their voters break toward the front runner. That's just a sort of a natural, the front runner tends to benefit the most. I'm sure that a lot of those voters went other places. I'm sure Byrne picked up some. I'm sure Tuberville picked up some. But the front runner generally picks up a lot more. And I think that's the case this time. But the biggest number to look at is that 12% undecided.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, what they need, what Jeff Sessions needs to avoid a runoff is 50% of the vote plus one. And he's, according to his own poll, now remember, he paid for it.
Right.
I looked at it. I looked at the innards a little bit, and it looks like a good poll. But he's 6 points away from avoiding a runoff, according to these numbers.
Which we have all said, for people to understand, I mean, we've been talking for a long time that this is going to be a runoff, it's going to be a runoff. There's no way you have such a crowded field and don't have a runoff. He may be looking at the unthinkable, right? Maybe not a runoff.
According to these numbers, it's possible. And especially if you look at that 12% undecided. You know, an undecided number, that's what everybody wonders about going into an election. And a lot of times, those undecided voters break toward the person that they perceive is more likely to win. Uh-huh. It's kind of like everybody likes to support the winner.
Yeah.
And so, even if he just got half of those votes, then he wins without a runoff. Now, look, this is one poll. It's a snapshot. You should never take any one particular poll all that seriously.
Right.
As gospel. But it does show, I think, serious momentum for Sessions as far as consolidating support in this Republican field.
Todd, this will be good for you to describe this. I was talking about it this morning and a little bit earlier in the show. and how you worked in Washington and worked in Montgomery. You saw the inner workings of campaigns there. Let's talk about this. The fact that a campaign pays for a poll, I told folks, doesn't immediately mean the poll is false or flawed, but they're constantly getting polling information. Campaigns are constantly doing what we call internal polls, but the fact is when they do a press release on one, that means that one's good for them. I mean, they're doing polling all the time.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, first of all, polling is really expensive, so you only do what you can afford. I would imagine at this point,
Jeff Sessions can afford some polls.
Yeah, they're probably polling every month and a half, yeah. Something like that. But because it's so expensive, they have no interest. The campaign has no interest in paying for a poll that is wrong, that gives them incorrect results. That's the big misnomer about internal numbers. People think, well, it's internal, it's paid for by Sessions, it must be wrong. Well, why would he pay for bad numbers? Because
right.
with or without the press release, these are the numbers that they're going by to run their campaign. Now, because it came back so positive, yeah, there's really no downside to leaking it to the press, because it helps you. It helps, you know, dry up fundraising for the other candidates and things like that. Now, look, that's not to say that there aren't push polls out there as far as, you know, there people campaigns all the time. If they're desperate, we'll try to, you know, get a pollster to lean on something. Generally, you can kind of figure it out. Like, for example, if Bradley Byrne released a poll tomorrow that had him in the lead, but all of it, but a way over proportional amount came from Mobile,
mm-hmm.
then we'd know it was weighted, right? So you've got to look at the innards on this. I looked at the geographical breakdown. It looks fine to me.
Although you would argue that Jeff Sessions is just as much of a Mobile product as Bradley Byrne.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Or if Tocqueville released a poll and there was way too many Auburn fans. You know,
right.
You've always got to look at the innards to see, okay, was this done correctly? One big thing is how many people were surveyed. This was a survey of 700 likely Republican primary voters. That's a pretty good number. Anywhere above 600, you're doing okay. If you get below 600, I see some of these polls of like 300 people
yeah.
with a margin of error of 6%. That's trash.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty good poll as far as I'm concerned.
All right. So say you're looking at this from the different camps. You're looking at it from, first, let's say you're in the Jeff Sessions camp. Keep on keeping on. Do you start pushing, you know, trying to somehow recruit those Merrill voters or somehow get the Tuberville supporters to feel like there's no chance? I mean, what would you do strategically?
Well, look, I think he's got to continue to get out his message of who he is. He's got to know that both Tuberville and Byrne have no choice now but to come after him. And so he's got to figure out his best defenses. And I think the best defense is a good offense. Get out in front of it. I do think an air of inevitability is a good thing in this case. As I mentioned, when you have a poll like this that's so widely read, I mean, everybody's talking about it. You should see my email inbox. it begins to dry up the other candidates' fundraising because it's just a difficult choice for a donor to make. Why continue to make a contribution for a candidate you know is probably not going to make the runoff? So if I'm Jeff Sessions, my one goal is to get this thing without a runoff. That may mean going after Tuberville a little bit. I think the more likely scenario is that Jeff Sessions doesn't punch down at all. Now, you may see some of these outside groups do it,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
like Club for Growth.
Yeah, they've
and
already
they,
been punching they, at Bradley Byrne.
That's right, punching hard. And which I don't know what good that does Sessions, but maybe it raises him in Mobile a little bit. I don't know. But they can't coordinate, right? Sessions can't coordinate with Club for Growth.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Club for Growth started really punching at Tommy Tuberville, then I think the natural beneficiary of that is Jeff Sessions. And so, but again, they're not legally allowed to coordinate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know that. But that never, I mean, you know, it would be, my favorite one is where a PAC comes out with a really nasty ad, and then it, you know, it makes its impact. And then you as a candidate come out and say, I disavow what that PAC is saying. You know, then you get to play both sides of the coin. Hey, can you hold on for a second?
Sure.
All right, we're coming right back. More with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about that email that he and I keep referencing, how to get that in your inbox 6 days a week. He'll tell you more about that. We'll look a little more into this Alabama Senate race on the Republican side. Also, I guess, talk about fundraising here on the incumbent, Senator Doug Jones. How that's looking, how that's shaping up. And then, yeah, we'll take it to Washington and talk about these articles of impeachment today and the move from the Democrats. It's all straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. On this Tuesday, talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. You could look in your inbox right now and you would see an email, if you'd gotten signed up, you would see an email from Todd with what you need to know today in Alabama and in national politics. How would they get said email?
Well, it's really easy, and now is a great time to sign up because we're getting into the political season. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe there at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. There's no cost, no cost at all. Just sign up, and you'll be on the list. You'll get an email from me in the 8 o'clock hour and have everything you need to know to start your day.
Now, on the political, you say we're never out of the political season, but yes, it's super ramped up here heading into primaries. And at the same time, you're going to be talking about sessions starting in – not sessions, y'all – sessions starting in Montgomery in the legislature. That, I mean, that's just – 2 months away.
That's right, February 4th. It's kind of crazy. It's going to sneak up on everybody. But we're right now paying attention to all these bills that are starting to get filed. You know, these in-between sessions, you know, the ones right after the election and the ones right before the election are what everybody pays attention to. But you really got to pay careful attention to these ones in between, because those are the ones that they might want to sneak things through. So we're going to be monitoring the State House very closely.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about this Republican Senate primary. And did we lose you, Todd? You still there? Sounds like we lost Todd. Good. There he is. Todd, you back?
Hey.
There you're back.
Yeah, sorry.
I was saying nothing but good things about you while you're gone. No, so Todd, let's talk a little bit more about this Republican Senate primary. If you are, at least according to this poll, and I know, I agree with you, taking one poll as any kind of gospel is a fool's errand. You got to look at a preponderance of the evidence. But if we, just for the sake of discussion right now, look at this, and you've got Bradley Byrne in third place. You've got a war chest, though, if you're Bradley Byrne. What do you do, because to gun to get into that runoff? I mean, what do you, how do you hopscotch Tuberville at this point?
Well, I think they're going to probably have to do some contrast ads, either with Tuberville or with Sessions. But the first thing is, get up in Huntsville and Mobile. I'm sorry, Huntsville and Birmingham. And I know they're doing that, right? They released that ad last week. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great ad. They're doing a lot on radio. And apparently they are plastering the Huntsville and Birmingham markets with those advertisements. That is critical. And the one thing about that is that this most recent polling would not have taken into account any kind of, you know, movement from the advertising that the Byrne camp has done. So we should make that clear. So that's number one. They have got to, Bradley Byrne has to increase his name identification, his recognition in Huntsville and Birmingham. That's the key, number one. But yeah, look, he's got to realize that the stakes here, I mean, the reality here is that he's in third place. He's either got to go after the second place guy in Tuberville or go after the first place guy in Sessions. I think it's probably a better bet to go after Tuberville because mm-hmm. it's easier to bring his numbers down. I think Tuberville's numbers are a little softer. People like Tuberville because they remember him as a football coach, and because he's, you know, kind of saying the right things. It's not the 20-year senator, I remember you and I adored you,
yeah,
numbers from Jeff Sessions. Now, look, they may choose to go after Jeff Sessions, and I wouldn't blame them because I think I wouldn't blame him for being pretty frustrated that Sessions got in the race the way he did. But to me, the best bet is to go after Tuberville and to try to soften those numbers to try to leapfrog him and hope that his numbers kind of crater out as more, you know, substantive campaigning starts happening.
Hey, speaking of Tuberville, this is I mentioned it this morning with this hubbub, I guess. Find out if you think it's real or contrived or some combination therein, with the drag queens and the Christmas parade there in Auburn. I mean, this makes no difference to how somebody's going to be a senator for the state of Alabama, but it is absolute red meat. I mean, if I'm Tuberville's campaign, I want to keep this story going.
Well, I guess I saw the Facebook post when it first, maybe it was Saturday or I don't know, I was just scrolling social media and look, it's just something stupid. He's criticizing the Opelika Christmas parade for having some drag queens in the Christmas parade. I think the folks in Mobile would laugh at that as if that was controversial,
right,
or something.
Right, right.
But it's just something you put on social media and you gin up a bunch of, you know, people and get their attention. That's all it is. But it looks like AL.com took the bait, right? And
yeah.
Now I'm counting three articles that they've written about it, saying Tuberville's awful for doing this. It's so, you know, anti-gay and it's anti-trans and it's all this stuff, and he's horrible for doing it. I don't know if they realize they're just helping him.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
yes.
You're just helping. Clearly, they don't like what he said. Clearly, they don't like his attitude on this issue. But the worst thing they could do is to just pour gasoline all over it and write a bunch of articles about it. That's what they've done. So I just kind of think it's a self goal at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not saying his campaign did it, but if I'm, you know, working for a campaign, I figure out how to get my candidate in that kind of dust up and say, look, he's, you know, he's fighting back against Opelika.
Oh yeah.
Drag queens.
What's funny is it's probably some campaign staffer who just saw it and was like, hey, we should say something about this, you know, ha ha ha, Roll Tide, and like,
or probably War Eagle.
You know, they do it,
yeah, probably
and
War
end
Eagle.
Up getting a firestorm of media, and it benefits the campaign. So whoever that campaign worker is deserves a raise.
That's for sure. All right, and yeah, we'll talk more about this Senate race, I know, coming up next week. Let's take turn our eyes to Washington and articles of impeachment. It was made official today. All right, give us your take on what's going on and where it goes next.
Well, you're right. So the articles of impeachment have been introduced. They've been announced. There are two articles. One for abuse of power and one for obstruction of Congress. Now, we'll stop there and remember what is not in there. How long did we hear about bribery?
Mm-hmm.
How long did we hear about extortion? We heard those two words over and over, and the emoluments.
Emoluments clause, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, they made it a point. They went to saying bribery. They went and changed the light specifically and started saying bribery.
Right. Over and over and over again. To the point where, I mean, the Intelligence Committee, that's all it was about. They went out of their way to try to prove that. That's not what they're charging the president with. Instead, it's this abuse of power thing that's pretty vague and actually ties a lot more to the Mueller investigation. Both of the charges do, actually. They tie kind of toward the Mueller investigation. And so, look, I speak to people in D.C. all the time. I try to get a good sense of, like, what's really going on. And here's the skinny. Democrats have to please their base. They know they're in a tight spot because they through the Intelligence Committee proceedings, the impeachment lost popularity. And they lost independence. They lost these states, these swing states. They know it's not helping their party. However, the liberal base of the Democratic Party has to have it. They're salivating over it. And if they don't do it, they're going to kick these guys out of office. They'll have a mutiny on their hands. So they know they just have to get They have to do it, get it over with, even knowing they're going to lose in the Senate. That's the political reality. The sad part about that is, this is not like some kind of shut down the government vote, right? This is impeachment. This is the third time that a president of the United States has been impeached. I think that's a pretty powerful thing to be playing political games with.
So they do this. So about just the pragmatic part of this. Then it goes to the Senate. Now it's in the hands of Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, and they can play this a lot of different ways. But one of them, if they go through the proceedings, doesn't that keep a lot of Democrats that would like to be president, or at least the Democrat nominee, off the campaign trail? There are a lot of senators in those ranks.
It really would. And there's two ways to think about that. You know, does Mitch McConnell just want to get it done? Just okay, let's come in here and get it done just to prove what a farce it is and just, okay, forget about it. But yeah, you know, Mitch McConnell is known for trolling sometimes, so maybe that would be the case. One thing is for sure, this has completely overshadowed any of the campaigning that has gone on in Iowa, New Hampshire, and around the country for these Democrats, right? I mean, just think about it. When's the last time you saw like a nightly news story on what Biden is saying or what Warren is saying? You really have to go watch cable news for all that. Normally, around this time, that's national news.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it really interesting. Whenever impeachment is finally over, the attention is going to turn toward these candidates. Americans are going to start realizing what they're saying, and it's going to get really interesting. And I tell you what, I know we spent a lot of time talking about how Biden was probably their best shot, right, against Trump because of his support amongst the black community. But that guy is a gaffe machine. Have you heard him lately?
Yes.
I mean, it's insane. I'm just kind of wondering if he's well.
Bloomberg comes in, right? I mean, that was always the tell when Bloomberg came, because Bloomberg was backing Biden. But when Bloomberg said, no, I need to do it myself, that, I mean, to me, that was the biggest vote of no confidence there from his money guy.
Oh, sure. I think a lot of people are starting to have doubts about Biden. Number one, he says creepy things. Mm-hmm. It was the hair on the legs thing. Man, that was just gross and creepy.
Like, why does he say that? Why? Why even open your mouth?
Yeah. But the other thing, which is probably more meaningful, is he cannot answer the Hunter Biden question. He just can't. He can't answer it effectively. And the thing about that is, and whenever you work with candidates, and especially when things come up about their family, it is almost impossible to try to, you know, train them or get them on message because it's their family. And they really don't want staff telling them how to talk about their family. If that's the case with Biden, which it seems like it is, he's in for a really bumpy ride, because after impeachment, I'm sorry, there's still a lot of unanswered questions about Hunter Biden, and the Senate Judiciary Committee might start getting into it. And if he doesn't answer that question a lot better, then he's toast.
So who does that leave? I mean, because you can look at a different poll on a different day and it tells you somebody else is leading the Democrats there. I mean, is it all Elizabeth Warren now, or is there a move for Bernie? What about it?
I do think that Warren, you're going to see another surge from Warren. You've seen her kind of up and down. I think you'll see another surge from her as far as, you know, a lot of her policies are in line with what the liberal base is. I think Mayor Pete has a pretty good shot. I don't think he does very well in the South, in Alabama and South Carolina.
Right.
Bernie, he's the big question mark. And the thing about Bernie is he has benefited from almost zero press coverage. The press leaves him alone, and he picks up, you know, points in the polls because nobody wants to talk about his policies. He's an avowed socialist, you know?
Yep.
I mean, if the press would actually talk about him, then maybe he wouldn't be so popular. So again, post-impeachment, it's really interesting to see where this goes. But look, money's still on Biden. He's still the front runner. I'm just saying that the longer this goes on, the more I see a lot of risk associated with nominating Joe Biden.
There you go. We'll see where that goes. We'll talk about it more next week. As always, man, great conversation. Thanks for checking in with us. And remind folks again, to get the email, what do they need to do?
It's really easy. Just aldailynews.com. That's the website. Click subscribe. You can sign up for free, and you'll be on the list. Get an email from me about 8 a.m. each morning.
All right. Look forward to it. Talk to you soon.
All right, Sean. Be good.
Will do. Todd Stacy checking in, and we're coming right back. Grab your calls and text at 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53 FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Couple of stories right now, and news, some breaking news I'm trying to follow, and Dalton, maybe we'll get more at the top of the hour about this. It's in New Jersey. Officer has been shot there, or a gunfight going on. I'm not sure of the details. Jersey City police responding to active shooter situation after a officer was shot. This is ongoing. Just about an hour ago, at least two officers were shot, according to WNBC and NewJersey.com. That information, it was not immediately confirmed. Law enforcement told WNBC the situation was an ambush on law enforcement there. Wow, we'll keep our eyes on that story and get you more here at the top of the hour. I'll ask that question, too, or discuss it with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. It's your chance to ask the sheriff as he joins us coming up next hour. So you got questions for him, make sure to get them ready, and you'll be able to ask him something you want to know for law enforcement. The man that's got the answers is in here. So place that call coming up next hour. All right, another one, too. As more of this story comes out, it's just I continue to have idea or questions, and there's every piece of news comes out seems to drag more questions in the mix, and that is story over at AL.com from Carol Robinson said the remains of Camille Cupcake McKinney tested positive for methamphetamine and trazodone, an antidepressant used to treat insomnia, after the three-year-old's body was found 10 days after her abduction and death. I was talking to friends about that this weekend. I said, that story. Remember the Amber reports going out, the Amber alerts for Camille Cupcake McKinney? And I said, so many times that those alerts go out, and I'm not trying to diminish at all the severity of when there's a child that's abducted, but they're quite often will be a family member, like one parent taking the child from another or something like that, right? Not always, but this story out of Birmingham, as it sits right now, this is every parent's worst nightmare. This is random people, like, in a van, come get the child. It just is, you wonder why we don't want to let our kids outside the house when people make fun of that, of Generation X parents like me. Well, maybe that's why. So we'll see, but that came out today, what was found in the autopsy of Camille McKinney. That was a lot more to that story. I tell you what, I'll link it up on the Twitter feed. Also, I'm going to dig into this. I'm going to try to listen to some of this when I can, and maybe we'll get lucky enough to have some of the people that did this podcast come on with us. There's a new podcast coming out about a name that we said so many times around here, and that's Omar Hamami. Remember Baldwin County? Goes to fight jihad in the Horn of Africa. Now there's a podcast out. Christoph Putzel is putting this out, and it's an in-depth dive, and there's probably a lot of this that we will know this story because it was reported on so much here around home, but it's American Jihadi is the name of this podcast. It says a new podcast details a correspondence between a journalist and Omar Hamami, Alabama-born terrorist who fought for al-Shabaab in Somalia. And so there's two episodes out so far. I don't know if they're recording them as they go, or they've got them already and they're just dropping them week by week. But if you're looking for that, it's called American Jihadi. I'll be trying to check out some of this and be able to tell you my take on it, see if it's worth a listen or not. But that's out there as well. And then here, just thought I'd let you know, as I looked at the few bottles of bourbon in my closet there that are like so nice, they're collector's items, ones you don't drink, I saw this story from CNN. The world's largest Scotch whiskey collection is going up for auction. I know you auction booze collections, but in this case you do. They think it could bring as much as $10.5 million at auction. The world's largest private collection of Scotch whiskey will go under the hammer and could fetch a staggering $10.5 million, reports CNN, dubbed the perfect collection, end quote. The spirits were amassed by the late Richard Gooding, a private American collector from Colorado. According to a specialist, drinks sellers, whiskey auctioneers, Gooding spent decades in pursuit of the perfect drinks collection and traveled regularly to Scotland to search for special bottles at auctions and distilleries. The collection consists of more than 3,900 bottles, primarily single malt scotch, and will be sold at auction next year, with some individually valued at more than $1.6 million a bottle. So go through and see. Maybe you have some fancy scotch. Help the holiday budget out there. All right, coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.